The Sunday service is over in the afternoon. I'm thinking, you know, Sunday's coming, God. What do you want to minister? So, you know, you get your ideas from billboards, from something somebody said, or something you've read and thought, and then you just kind of work from there. So my mind is not on how many's going to be here, who's going to be here, who's not going to be here, big crowd or not. I just get the plan of God, the word of the Lord, and work from there. Amen. Because when you preach a message, you're building a sermon, and you are building a word for the people to take home and live off of and to make their life appropriate to it. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that has been in our presence today, God. I just speak peace over myself right now, Lord, as I relax in your Holy Spirit, that I will be able to minister the word that I sense it's upon your heart to minister today, Lord. That it's going to reestablish some things and reaffirm some things and build on that foundation that you have already laid. Thank you, Father, you hide me behind the cross for a little while, that I can speak what's up on your heart. I come against every distraction in the name of Jesus, for thoughts that may come, what's going on this afternoon, what's going on next week, what's going on with this or that. We just center in on you because we need a word from you. That is what's going to sustain us. Amen. Pastor gave a prophetic word back in 1999. And I want to read that to start out with this morning because I believe this is what God's going to do today. Amen. And this is from Pastor, October the 17th, 99. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed, and what he always did, he will do. So get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God is going to do it again. God is going to reestablish in your life the faith that you once had, that maybe you wonder, where did it get to? Where has it been hid? How did I allow the enemy to push me off where I was? And you're going to be able to reconstitute in your life and in yourself a new dimension of faith in God and a new perseverance and a new reserve within you that my God is able and he will deliver. Whew. I'm not bound to you, devil, and I'm not giving up. My heart is fixed and my heart is established. And I will not be moved where I stand, come hell or high water. I will not be pushed off this rock. My God will do it again. Pastor, there's been a lot of things that's happened since you have ministered that word. And we're going to be reviewing some of his testimony this morning as we go through the message. But today's Father's Day. So we not only have honored the fathers that are here today and everybody's doing things for fathers today, but we're going to be starting the message out this morning by talking about our Heavenly Father, about our Abba Father. Taking our first scripture from Galatians 4 and 6, and I'm not going to be able to get finished with this word today because it's going to run into something else, so make sure you come next Sunday for the rest of the shouting part of it. Amen? Galatians 4, 6 says, "And because you are sons, and God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." You know, people say, well, everybody's, you know, the children of God. Everybody's a child of God because God created us. But the Scripture tells us something totally different. The Scripture tells us in John 1, 12, and 13, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe," what? "On his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God." So the children of God, sons and daughters of God, are the ones that accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. He then gave them the power to become his child. So when we're born again, we're adopted into the family of God, redeemed from the curse of sin, and made heirs of God. Romans 8:17 tells us that. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ." You know, you're rich and don't even know it. Amen? And part of that relationship is that God now deals with us differently as family. We are family. Because of our relationship with him, our Abba Father, he no longer deals us as enemies. He not only deals with us as enemies. Instead, we can approach him with boldness and full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:19 tells us that. Now we are brothers and sisters in God's family. I like that concept of God's family. He started a long time ago. Because the blood of Jesus, and he welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without no hesitation. Hebrews 10:22 tells us we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing will keep us at distance from him. The word Abba that we just read in Galatians is from Aramaic word meaning father. And a common term that expresses this is confidence, a trust, and affection. Abba signifies a close relationship, an intimate relationship, as a father with his child. And we, as his sons and daughters, are continually on the father's heart and on the father's mind. As natural parents, no matter how old our children get, there's not very few times during the day that we're not thinking of them or whispering a prayer for them. And just think of all the children God's got. He knows you intimately. He knows every thought you think, every move you make. And he has chosen to do that. He's chosen you to become part of his family. So our Abba Father wants us to be successful. He wants us to be prosperous in this life. He wants us to be encouraged to live out our purpose and our plan for him. And not just as an individual person, but in the core of family as he has created it to be. Now, we know we live in a world today that has, they say all kinds of things about how family is supposed to be. But we know what the Word says, the family that God has created it to be. Amen. So in individuals, that makes families. They are the body of Christ. They are the church. We are the church. Families, individuals make up who the church is. Amen. And the body of Christ, the church. It tells us in Ephesians 2:19, so you are not foreigners. You are not guests. But rather, you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. That's why we get into the Word to find out our rights as his children. And what an honor and privilege it is to be accepted by God into his kingdom. Amen. So we are family. You are my brother and sister. You may not like me, but you got to love me. Amen. Because we are family. Amen. So Father God always wants us to relate. God wants to relate with us as his children and as his sons and daughters. That's how he wants to relate to us. And I believe that God is always talking, but we are not always listening. I believe God is always talking to us. I believe he talks in sometimes, you know, very few people have heard God's voice audibly. I think I may have a couple of times. But God uses many different ways to speak to us. It could be a billboard. It could be something you read in the paper. Open the Bible to the exact scripture you need. That's God's whispers to us. So do not ever ignore the whispers of God. Ephesians 1:22-23 tells us, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So therefore, we recognize what this is saying. Jesus is the head of the church, and we are his body. And he places members in the body according to his purpose and his callings. Amen. So Paul wrote this letter to the church, and the Kingdom Dynamics Bible says, as the present physical presence of Christ. The church is to be filled with him by the Holy Spirit, and assigned by the Lord Jesus to represent him to society to minister his life, love, and power. In other words, we are the body in this world that represents Jesus. And it's so true, the world may be the only Jesus they see. So how are you representing him? What kind of representative you are? Because you are going to be an influence when you go, you're going to be an influence. So you may well be a positive one and not a negative one. You know, so how are you influencing the world around you as the body of Christ? So our Father God wants to reassure us and to reaffirm us. You know, sometimes as our children, they need to be reaffirmed. Mama loves you, Daddy loves you, you know. They need to be reaffirmed of that love sometimes. They need to be reaffirmed that, you know, you're supposed to be here. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And this may have come along and that may have come along to try to abort it, to try to derail it. But this is what God is saying to you. And that's how we need to speak into our children's lives. And so sometimes God has to come along and say, you know, I will remind you that I am your Abba Father. And I will remind you that I have not forgotten the things that I've spoke to you. This may have happened. A lot has happened since 1999. But I want to reassure you today that I'm still God. That I am still your Abba Father. Amen. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. So the purpose and the plan, the calling of this church, the calling of you, the purpose and plan that God has for your life, for this area through this church, he has not forgotten about it. Amen. It's always been on his mind. If Jeremiah tells us 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for this place, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. That's the plans that God has for us. That's an encouraging word, that God has not forgotten us. Amen. He's not forgotten you. And there are things that come along to derail those plans. So what does the enemy go after? He goes after the head. That's why he's attacked fatherhood in the natural. Because the spiritual order of things is supposed to be the man, the head of the home, the father that's placed in the home. But we see how over the years that the enemy has come in and derailed that and caused it to be nothing like that. But God is a God of restoration. God is a God of hope. And he can make all things possible. So he goes after the head. And it's the same way within the body of the church. He goes after the head, which is the pastor. And he knows that if he can attack the pastor and get him out of commission, amen, that the vision, the calling, and the purpose of that church can be derailed. Amen. So the head, the one God has put the vision in and the calling in. So I'm going to read you a story that's true. And when I start out, you'll know who I'm talking about. But as I begin to put this down, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go with this and see where it goes, God. So the man and woman who God brought together to be one was obedient to come back home to South Central Kentucky, the place they were born, to start a church that believed not as they was believing when they first left, but when they came back, they believed in the full gospel. A church that believed in the whole word of God as it is written. And at the time, there was, as Pastor said, there was nothing else around here like it. But I believe because of their obedience, it was a catalyst to set forth many more ministries in this area and surrounding areas, as well as for the gospel to be preached outside of Kentucky. This word is going forth all over the world because of one man and woman that said yes to what God was saying. So what are you saying yes to this morning? Because your yes, you don't know where it's going to take you to. Amen. But all he's wanting from you is a yes, I will, and go. And also others have moved to other states to carry on what they had been given through this church. And the enemy even tried to stop his conception because the parents, I didn't realize this a few weeks ago, were told that they could never have children. But God had another plan. The power of prayer prevails over that which others say it cannot be, if God says that it can be. His father prayed, from what I understand, for a farm and a son who would be a preacher. So a farm he got, and a son was born. Why? Because he chose to believe God. His hope was not based in what anybody else said, but what this word said. So over the years, we can see that he has been under siege of the enemy, from fiery darts of the devil more than once. The aim and plan was plain and simple. The aim was plain and simple, to try to take him out, to derail him, and if he could get the vision of this house, then he would go through the head. That's why it's so important. And Martha, I didn't know you was teaching this Wednesday night. I just called her Sunday and said, hey, you want to teach Wednesday night? But he goes through the head. That's why you need to pray for your pastors. So the fire darts of the devil more than once to destroy the plan and purpose, destroy the calling of what God had set forth before the foundation of the earth. Not just for them personally, but the plan for church to be planted in this area, a place where grace was centered, a place where Holy Spirit was there, but a place where all is welcome. The word is taught with understanding. And many have come and gone over the years that have a testimony of God's saving, healing power. Many, many testimonies that we probably don't even know about because of someone, because of a couple that said yes to God. Yes, God. I may not understand it at the moment, but you'd be yes. So along came along. A time goes on, and the devil said, I'm going to try the big one this time. And I believe this big one's going to take him out. He died in the arms of his wife. The devil for a moment forgot about the word that was hidden in her heart. For a moment he forgot. Because he was so intent of taking him out that he forgot about a woman who was filled with the Holy Ghost. That stood by her man through it all. Amen. And stood on the word. And she whispered in his ear, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. This scripture came up out of her spirit from Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit who lives in you. Don't wait till it rains to try to get the word in you, because rainy days will come. And when the rainy days come, there's a well inside of you that's going to spring forth. And you're just going to be able to speak the word over that situation at that moment. Amen. And so I believe that when the devil heard those words, church, I believe when the devil heard those words, I could begin to see him tremble. And I'd saying, where did that come from? Where did that come from? The devil forgot who was holding him. Not only holding him, not only his God, but a wife who believed in the word and believed in him and believed that he was here for more than what he had been. Amen. And so at that moment, I believed a host of ministering angels entered into that hospital room. I believe they ushered in at that moment when those words were spoken from her. I believe heaven began to say, there's a warrior down. Go and get him. Not to bring him to heaven, because his work's not done. And Pastor, I believe that's why that you did catch a glimpse of heaven. Because if you had it, you'd have said, I ain't going back, God. I'm staying here with you. But God said, the work's not done. There's a few more people that need a word from you. Amen. And I believe the moments that those words were spoken from her, and that's what the enemy does, church. When we begin to start speaking the word, he begins to tremble, because once you get a hold of the word and you start believing that word, all hell gets nervous. Amen. And I believe the moment that she spoke those words, I believe a host of angels went into that room, and along with the medical team and that host of angels, his guardian angel, hallelujah, ushered in, and they went into action. And Pastor, I believe with every compression that the nurses did, the angels was holding their hand and saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. And even when the enemy was screaming no, I believe the angel was screaming yes. And I believe their voices got louder than what the enemy does is. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. His heart started beating again, and the process of recovery began. And for a few moments, church, there was a warfare going on. Ephesians 6:12 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you can take this and you can put it with anything in your own life. You may not have had a death experience, but you can take the principles of what I'm saying. And I believe that when you cry out to God, he's going to send a host of angels in you to deliver you, to deliver your children, and to deliver whatever you are believing for. The message reads it as this. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. The enemy wants to take you out because you've got a testimony. He doesn't want you here. The Sunday after this happened, I ministered a word, Pastor, and I titled the message, Keep the Faith. And I told the people, I said, if our pastor was here this morning, but he would say to you, keep the faith, church. No matter what you see me go through, no matter what you have seen me go through, you keep the faith because the word is true. And we were talking last Sunday, if God never does anything in this word that I have believed in him for, it's still true. Me not receiving or experiencing the word doesn't make it true. It's true because it is written. And Jesus said it's settled. Amen. That's what makes it true. Amen. So the message reads it. It's a life, death, fight to the finish. And I titled the message, Keep the Faith. And no matter, I was telling the people that no matter what you've seen me go through, the word is still true. Don't give up and don't give in. Keep the faith. Keep the faith, church. So no matter what you're seeing around here, no matter what you're hearing people say, keep the faith. I've had people call me, not just recently, but before. What are you going to do about this? What do you think about this? Where's the people? I said, I don't know. I'm just responsible to get up and preach the word. God will take care of the rest of it. I'm not into sorting out people's business. I'm into preaching the word as it is written, and the Holy Ghost will straighten everybody else out. Amen? So the word is still relevant today. Keep the faith, church. Keep the faith. Amen. The devil is forever trying to derail us from the plan, the purpose of God has for us in this life. And he will use whatever means he can to keep you from finding your purpose in this life. The enemy wants to derail you and take you from the place where God says you are planted. Because it's the word. It's being connected to a body of believers and a pastor that loves you. And that's willing to tell you the truth and to speak the word over you. The enemy wants to uproot you, amen, from that place. The Bible says in Psalms 92:13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And so many people can't keep their roots down long enough to be planted. Stay where you're planted. Grow your roots deep. And when the life storms come along, the storms of life come along, you are not going to be easily uprooted. Amen. So he wants to keep you from the body of believers where the word is ministered. To keep you from taking that word and leaving this place to go out and fulfill your purpose in living your life out in everyday life. Because as I said, we are influencing. People are seeing Jesus in us. How are they seeing Jesus in us? What kind of influence are they seeing in us? So no matter what we hear or whatever, stand, keep the faith. And as I began to close this out, when I was working on it this morning, I began to hear the word forged by fire. It means to have an experience, real hardships, and not to have been beaten by them. To become stronger, wiser, and more determined to succeed because of, rather than despite the experiences. Don't let the struggles and the things you go through define who you are. You're only defined by what the Word says. The Word says I'm an overcomer. I'm going through some things right now, but the Word says I'm an overcomer. I'm hurting in my body right now, but the Word says that by His stripes I'm healed. Those things don't define me. My pain, my struggles, and those things don't define me. I'm defined by what the word says because it's a settled word, and it's true. Most of the Psalms, when you read, were born in difficulty. Most of the epistles are written in prisons. Most of the greatest thoughts of all the great thinkers of all time had to pass through the fire. Psalm 66:12 reminds us, you caused me to ride over our heads when we were prostrate. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out. into a broad, moist place, to abundance, refreshment, and open air. You just need to breathe again. You just need to take a deep breath by faith and say, I'm letting it go. Oh, letting it go. So we have the promise in Isaiah 42, 2 and 3. When you go through the sea, I'm with you. When you go through rivers, I'll be with you. They won't sweep you away. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. The flames will not harm you. Why? Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Meshach and Abednego, you know, had to go into the fire. But guess who was in there with them? Yeah. Amen. If you're in the fire, Jesus is right there with you. Yeah. Amen. So it was apparent when you began to read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they were fully persuaded that nothing could make them bow. Nebuchadnezzar's statue, no threats, no consequence, and no punishment. You've got to have a made-up mind. You've got to be fully persuaded. It's the word that I read. It says, I'm not bound to you, devil, and I'm not giving up. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. It's established, and I will not be moved where I stand. Amen. Come hell or high water, I will not be pushed off of this rock. Amen. My God will do it again. Amen. My God will do it again. So if life has pushed you too far, Father God, Abba Father wants to remind you today it's time to rise up, church, with attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, an attitude where you are fully persuaded. And then I begin to hear the word, the tide is turned. And I'm going to read a couple of things about that, and then we're going to finish it up next Sunday. Psalms 118, 15, 16, I began to try to find scripture on that, and the Message Bible, Psalms 118, 15, 16 says, God's my strength. You can go ahead and begin to stand. He's also my song. And now he's my salvation. Amen. Hear the shouts. Hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. Amen. Woo! Are we in the camp of the saved this morning? Has the Lord done some things for you that you can shout about? Amen. Hear the shouts, hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. Those that have been delivered. Those that have been brought out by a mighty hand. Those who know that you've got something to shout about even though nobody else knows your testimony. You know your testimony. You know where God has brought you from. You know what he has saved you from and continually saves you from. Hear the shouts, hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. Ooh! The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned around. Hey, church, we serve a Father. Abba Father. He's a turnaround Father. He was all time turning stuff around. He stood out on the premises of time one time and everything was dark. And what did he do? He turned. He turned around the darkness into light. Come on now. He is a turnaround God. And if you've got a situation that you need turned around this morning, by faith, I just want you to turn around. Turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. God is turning it around, church. I hear some of you have backpedaled so much until you are tired. Amen. You've been going the wrong way. You're backpedaling. And he says to you today, the tide is being turned in your favor. He says it's time to rest in him and quit trying to do it in your own strength. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. You have what seems like been backpedaled against the current, and now it's turning in your favor. So I'm going to finish part two next week. The tide has been turned. But today I want to leave you with this. With a new resolve, we're not going under. We are going over. And today as we celebrate Father's Day, we are celebrating our Heavenly Father more than anything. Because when we have that relationship right with him, all these other relationships will come into focus and will be what God has said they would be. So we celebrate our earthly Father today. Now, I've got another word I want to read you before we go. Come back next Sunday. Bring somebody with you that you know needs a turnaround, that needs a healing. Tell them that God, that you heard Sunday morning right here, that God is a turnaround God, and their situation can be turned around. I want you to bring somebody to church with you next week. Holy Ghost is going to be here in an awesome way. Amen. So just receive this word today. Find the Lord your God, and there is no other that offers the grace I give. Step into the abundant living through my provision that I have provided for you. Know I am for you, and the things that are so easily besetting to you lay aside. Look for me, and surely you will find me, for I am only a breath away. Utter my name, and I will hear and respond. This is a season of turnaround, and it may have seemed as you've been stuck in a place and your walk has become heavy and every step you've taken has seemed as a burden. I'm the burden lifter and I'm causing things to turn around for your favor. Look to the east. Go ahead and look to the west. Look to the north and look to the south. Am I the Lord of all? Those things that you touch, feel, and taste, and even see are temporary. Don't hold on to those things as a lifeline that are so easily lost in a moment of time. I am, and I am your source of continual overflow. Just as you have sensed that spring has just passed and there was a budding forth in the natural, and now the summer has come, I'm bringing the new to you. Some may say, but I've not walked this way before. Let's do it like we've done before. Let's have church like we've had before. Let's pray like we have before. Let's praise like we have before. No, I'm commanding you to step out of your place of comfort and become radical in believing. Become radical in your praising. Radical in your giving. Radical in your praying. And even radical in loving those that said are unlovable. There is a baby about to be born spiritually, and he has been in the womb. Yes, the incubator of my spirit. The enemy has tried to derail it and has wanted to and desired to cause a miscarriage, but by my grace, he has stayed intact, and now you have come to full term. The water has been broken and the flood of my spirit has been released, and God says, welcome to the overflow. Welcome to the overflow. Welcome the new. Embrace the new, for this place will not only be called the place of prayer, but praise, the place of salvation for many that have grown weary. They have grown weary and tried to find their place in me, grown weary and tried to find who they are, searching, but never finding peace. I am the God of peace, and I'm not all, and not one of my own has to work for what I have.